Namaste, friends, and welcome to Intuitive Living. This is Reverend Therese Inzarello. I'm your host for this evening. And if you are a first-time listener, welcome to Intuitive Living. Thank you for joining us this evening. And if you are a loyal listener, thank you for joining us as well. Love to have you interact with us. So please feel free to email us. You can reach me at intuitiveliving@earthlink.net. I always love to get your messages, and we'll be happy to respond to those. And happy spring to you. Today is the first day of spring. It's a time of new growth and new beginnings. And I love ceremony and ritual. And I would like to share with you information about a special spring equinox celebration that's going to be taking place here in Phoenix. My friend Michelle Melchiori, she was my guest back in January. We did a show on mystical experiences. She is going to be facilitating a wonderful spring equinox ceremony tomorrow evening, which is Tuesday, March 22nd. And it will be at the farm at South Mountain. And it will begin at 6:30 p.m. And if you've never been at the farm at South Mountain, it's a wonderful, quaint little place, and it's a wonderful place for ceremony. It's located at 6106 South 32nd Street, and the ceremony will include healing circle, meditation, sharing, and also finding your gifts with a mini Arasoma bottle reading. And she's also going to distribute free Arasoma color gifts. The cost is $20, and for more information or to RSVP, please contact Michelle at AmbuJam12, and that's AmbuJam12@AOL.com. That's AmbuJam12@AOL.com. And I wanted to share that with you because I really do think that ceremony and ritual is so important, and it's a wonderful way to bring in the springtime. So I hope that you'll join us there. And it is my passion and my joy to bring to you each week interviews and information that will uplift you and support you in your spiritual evolvement. I share with you spiritual truth, insights, and wisdom that will advance your soul and assist you in living an empowered, enlightened life. And tonight, I am very honored to have as my guest a man that has much wisdom to share and that will certainly enhance your spiritual journey. Making him chuckle there. But my guest tonight, and I'm very, very pleased to welcome to the show, Michael Robbins.
Hi, Therese. Good to be here with you.
Good to be here. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm just going to share a little bit of background with our listeners. He is the president and the co-founder of the University of the Seven Rays. He is a teacher of the esoteric astrology, esoteric
yes.
psychology, esoteric cosmology.
Yes, everything esoteric, yes.
He's an author of several books on the seven rays and esoteric astrology, as well as non-dualistic philosophy.
Yes, my infinity book, yes.
He is a composer of music and dramas that he calls solar fire festivals.
Right, and rituals, solar fire rituals, yes. Actually, yes.
And his academic training is in music. You have a Bachelor of Vocal Performance, an
yes.
MA in theater, and a PhD in psychology and philosophy.
Yes, thank you.
So that's quite an extensive...
Oh, my goodness, it makes me tired to think of it.
Yes, quite extensive credentials there. So it truly is a pleasure and honor to have you here
thank
with
you,
us
Therese.
This evening.
Thank you.
So, and I understand that you travel quite extensively.
Yes. The University of the Seven Rays has been in existence since 1987. Actually, mm-hmm. Seven Ray Institute since 1985. And ever since that time, we've been teaching all over the world, throughout Europe, through Canada, through Mexico, through Australia, New Zealand. So mm-hmm. we have quite a schedule of meeting students wherever they can mm-hmm. be. Yeah.
Well, it's great that we do get to have you here in Phoenix every once
well,
in a
I'm
while.
Well, I'm just passing through, you know,
passing
but I do
through.
A lot of music here in Phoenix with my mm-hmm. friend and colleague Harold Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, I know Harold and,
yes.
and his wife
yeah.
Laura. They're great people.
Yeah, they are, you know.
So.
And he's a wonderful composer, a beautiful musician, and we work together on these solar fire rituals that I compose for the signs of the zodiac, kind mm-hmm. of like you'd say astrology set to music. That's what I do.
Yes, that's wonderful. That's
well, I try to give my students something to sing about that's right on their subject, you know.
Mm.
So I'm kind of thinking ahead, you know, to the time when let's just say the religions of the world, there'll be a united religion that will unite all people. And the full moons and the new moons, the time that we can access the zodiacal energy will be really important. So people mm-hmm. have to know about these energies that they can access every month. And I help them sing about that, you know, mm-hmm. not just learn it with their head, but get it into the voice, get it into their body also.
And that is a wonderful vision. And I hold that vision with you.
Yeah, right. Thank
because
you.
Because I truly... advocate that there's not a right path or a wrong path,
no.
but that spiritual truth is sprinkled throughout
There'll be as many paths as there are people. You know, we call that building the bridge to your, you know, to your real self. So that will come. There will be, you know, I don't know if we'll call it religion so much as spirituality, but it'll be a universal thing. And, of course, the great world teacher that we call the Christ, and by many other names as well, he'll be the head of that, you know. So we're looking forward to that amazing opportunity.
And everyone will honor each other.
That's the point. I think we have a few things to get through before that. You know, we've got a lot of narrow-minded thinking, you know, and people who think there's only one way to do things. But if the second ray, you know, the ray of love, wisdom, we study a lot of the seven rays. If that comes through the way I hope it will, there'll be a broadening of people's understanding.
And a lot of
toleration, a lot of understanding. Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's talk just a little bit about what the University of the Seven Rays stands for so that our listeners
right there in the title.
Yes.
University of the Seven Rays, you know, the seven fundamental, you would call them sort of subjective energies that condition all of our lives, condition our psychology, condition the way things appear, how we think, the vocations we follow. These seven rays are behind all of our manifested life. So there's hardly a thing in the world. Well, there's not a thing in the world that is not conditioned by one or other of these seven fundamental energies. Mm-hmm. Or combinations of them. Mm-hmm. And they have their colors, they have their sounds, they have their perfumes, you know, they have their gems. You know, everything is divided into seven, and of course it's not as simple as that, but the blending of these things together makes for the beautiful tapestry of life.
Because everything in the universe comes down to vibration of energy.
Indeed, indeed. And there are these distinct vibrations, and they are qualified by these ray energies, you know. Mm-hmm. And by the different colors. You might say, let's say we have the red ray of power. Mm-hmm. I'm simplifying this, okay, but, you know,
sure.
You get the idea. Red ray of power and the indigo blue ray of love and wisdom, mm-hmm. or the third ray of creative intelligence, which is green, mm-hmm. and the fourth ray of harmony through conflict or harmony, beauty, and art, that's a yellow ray. And we have the scientific ray of concrete knowledge, which is orange color, and then we have the light blue or rose colored ray of devotion. A lot of people are on that these days. And then the magical ray, the amethyst ray, the violet ray of the ray of the new age for the next 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming in, and that'll be very important to kind of straighten out our world, because we need to bring heaven to earth, which is, you know, in a way the theme of our coming conference of the University of the Seven Rays right here in Phoenix.
So then the mission of the University of the Seven Rays is to bring forth these teachings and the ageless wisdom teachings to...
Exactly. And to help people grow into the potential that they have spiritually speaking, but through the exact knowledge of exact energies of a subjective kind. In other words, these energies, well, you know, they are hidden in a way, but, you know, in terms of people's behavior, in terms of their vocation, their appearance, the things that they love or do not love,
mm-hmm.
you can see the rays at work along mm-hmm. with the astrological energies.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can help people come into a deeper, specific knowledge of their energy formula,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everybody does have an energy formula.
And they have dominant rays.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So there's a combination.
It's more
complex than just being one certain ray.
Yeah. Well, let's just say that as a soul, let's say that as a reincarnating being, you know, because we do, you know, accept this reincarnation idea, you have a major ray. But that expresses through many, many different combinations, life after life, you know, mm-hmm. and according to the lessons that we have to learn. So the University of the Seven Rays began to teach esoteric psychology. This was our major focus. And since then, we've expanded into all sorts of esoteric fields, healing, you know, and philosophy and politics and science and all the esoteric perspectives on these. What's this word esoteric? It just means the hidden causes of things.
Yes.
You know, everybody can touch that. If you touch your deeper self, you're touching the esoteric part of yourself.
Yes, it's like the deeper or the higher meaning.
Exactly. Your soul nature, who you essentially are in your deep consciousness. And that's the esoteric life. That's what we try to do. We try to bring that to people. We have students all over the world from, I don't know, 15 years old to 80 years old, you know.
Well, it is quite fascinating.
Well,
I know that I've attended some of the workshops and have started to study it, and it's very fascinating. And I think the thing that people will find so wonderful about it is that it really explains a lot of the deep yearning questions that mm-hmm. people have in their soul that a lot of other philosophies haven't been able to answer.
Well, a lot of philosophies stop short at the mind.
Yes.
The mind is, of course, vitally essential.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to transcend the mind by developing it to its fullest possible extent. And then we get into the intuitive realm. And once we're into the realm of the intuitive, intuition, then the world as it is begins to appear before us. So we try to stimulate through meditation this power of accessing the higher intuition.
Because we're so much more than just the physical realm.
Than what we appear to be.
Yes.
You know, what you see in the mirror is not, that's just the instrument, you know.
So
that's
if we truly want to develop to our full potential, we need to tap into all those powers.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah, the full range of them, more than we think, maybe 49 different powers available to us on the different levels of our being. I mean, right now, we're living on the externality of our being. And in the USR and the SRI, you know, those are institutions. We try to bring people into the realization of these deeper factors, but in an energy-specific way. Mm-hmm. So they don't just talk vaguely about spirituality, but talk about the specific energies that make their psychology what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the interesting part.
And I really do appreciate that, because I know a lot of the new thought traditions, it is so vague that they don't really go far enough to explain it.
Well, that's the planet Neptune, you know.
Yes.
Neptune is a wonderful planet. It's given us a lot of beautiful New Age music. It's given us the intuition, but it also gives us a certain vagueness in our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to be sharp in our thinking if we can be. Mm-hmm. To be sharp in your thinking and intuitive at the same time and loving at the same time. It really, we have to put it all together, you know.
Well, and it seems like we have reached that era where science is coming together and people are wanting that.
Exactly. Science and religion are not separate things.
No, they are not.
No. They are just different ways of describing the same reality.
Right.
So that's what we're attempting to do, and bring people into the magical process of making their inner self happen in a beautiful way on the outer plane. That's what we're trying to do.
Well, reading all of your credentials there with the psychology and the astrology and the music, I wanted to ask you, do you have a favorite avenue that you really enjoy the most, or do you just enjoy doing a little bit of everything?
Well, you know, I probably go back to my own astrological chart, which shows that I've got to be a musician, you know, or I've got to do that. But at the same time, I have to be a thinker, I have to be a philosopher. So, you know, I'm trying to integrate my nature by putting together the different aspects of my nature, and that's what people have to do. We're all so multifaceted. So is there a favorite? Well, it depends at what time and in what mood, you know.
I can so much relate to that,
because sometimes
I felt like I'm a little spread out all over the place because I have so many things that I love.
Exactly.
But it is about integration.
Exactly. And an integrated person is a person whose power really begins to express itself, and they find joy. So integration brings joy. And when we're split apart and we have all these cleavages and divisions in our nature, then we suffer. Mm-hmm. You know, when there's division, there is suffering. When there is unification, the joy arises. And we're at that point in the world. We have to face our divisions.
Well, and I think developing all those different facets of yourself helps bring balance.
Absolutely. And balance and healing are the things that go together, you know. Mm-hmm. In other words, the ease and dis-ease. You know, many of us, look, you know, these are stressful times, and we realize that. And people are really struggling for their spiritual life, but they're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to win, you know, within the next 20, 30 years, we're going to see remarkable developments. I think we'll face a lot of our negativities. I don't think we can avoid that. You know, I wish I could be like totally optimistic and say it'll just be a cakewalk, but you know how it is. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to bring something to birth, it causes pain. And we have to face the psychological pain of dealing with our negativities, but do it in a scientific and spiritual way at the same time, and also in an artistic way. We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that.
Well, you're going to be the keynote speaker at the upcoming conference.
Well, I'll be one of them. You know, it is with my colleague, Marianne Casolino. We've been, you know, working together for 24 years now. She's the president of the Seven Ray Institute, and I'm the president of the University of Seven Rays. And it's really like one big thing, you know. So we're getting a lot of good people together, good keynote speakers, people from all over the country who have some kind of expertise in helping us understand manifestation.
Yes.
You know how it is? I mean, there's a lot inside us, right? But does it ever really show itself? Does it ever express itself? That's what this Seventh Ray conference is all about. This is the ray of magic and manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
How to do that scientifically and beautifully. How to bring ourselves through. That's what we're trying to do.
Well, there's quite an impressive lineup of speakers at this conference.
Yes, yes.
I went to the website, and it looks like there's really some fascinating people.
Yeah, some of them are our regulars, you know, and some are the are new people.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, you know, recommend that people come to, well, you know, it's like a feast. It's like a spiritual feast when you come to one of these conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And the camaraderie, of course, is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And people have their heart and their mind united. Whatever they may do when they go home, I don't know, you know what I mean? But at least while they're there, they manage to put their heart and their mind together, and also their willpower. And things begin to radiate beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
So I you know, you'll enjoy. You'll enjoy.
I'm sure. I'm sure that everybody will.
And good musicians, too, and good musicians, you know, that as well.
Well, I know I had the opportunity to attend William Meter's conferences workshops when he was here.
He'll be speaking.
And it really was very enlightening, wonderful. So it just kind of gives you that, it was like an appetizer wanting more.
That's it. Well, of course, you know, we have to take in. We have to take in all we can, but then we have to let it out in service. You know, we have to radiate this. Whatever we take in, we have a responsibility, you know. Mm-hmm. If we're exposed to these beautiful streams of energy, we have to share them with people. Because there's so many people that, in a way, don't know anything about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sad thing, and they still have a pessimistic worldview. They still don't see where humanity can really go. You know, where this, let's just say this temple of humanity, mm-hmm. how it can be built, this mm-hmm. great inner structure of energy. They don't believe in it. Mm-hmm. And yet it will come, you know. We've got our Aquarian age for...
Yeah, they don't see the big picture yet.
Well, yeah. I mean, in a way, look, none of us really see the big picture.
The big
you
picture.
Know, you know, when you get to the top of your particular mountain, you always look up and you say, oh, there's another one. on it ever goes. But to see a bigger picture is a joy, you know, and that's one of the things we try to expand people's consciousness if we possibly can.
Well, the title of the conference is Building the Temple of Humanity, Magically Manifesting Heaven on Earth.
Yeah, what a mouthful, huh?
Well, it is a little bit, but can you explain exactly what that means?
Well, the Temple of Humanity, you know, everything is energy, subtle energy, we might say. And, you know, if we really look at who we are or who humanity is, well, we are subtle energy beings, and we have these patterns of inner energy, and they're either harmonious or not. Well, the same is true for humanity. You know, we can't help it. Every thought we think, every word we say, everything we do, we are constantly building an inner structure. We're building the relationships of all these vibrations. Is it going to be a beautiful thing, or is it going to be how it is? You know,
mm-hmm.
In other words, how it is sometimes, the conditions in which we are not necessarily beautiful. But if we follow the divine pattern that is in each one of us uniquely and in humanity as a whole, because, you know, really, humanity is one being if you think about it, mm-hmm. then we will build an inner structure of related energies, which will be like inner music or an inner painting or inner art. It will be a beautiful kind of structure that will radiate a life-giving and beauty-giving aura.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the Temple of Humanity, and it will be the place where human beings can go when they tune in the right way to receive energies which will restore them and redeem them. And look, the higher worlds are always here with us. They're nowhere else. You know, heaven is right here in a way. Mm-hmm. It just has to come through. So the Temple of Humanity consists of the higher vibrations that any individual can create or that humanity as a whole can create. And we have to build that by making ourselves better. We have to build our own temple first, our own temple.
Well, that's how I was understanding what you were saying, is it's really being in alignment with the highest vibration that you can possibly be.
Yes. And there are a number of them, so they have to fit together harmoniously.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's a question of harmony, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at music, there's many, many different notes and phrases.
Mm-hmm.
They all have to fit together harmoniously, and we have to integrate ourselves so that our temple is a harmonious, united building. It, in a way, it's related to the old Temple of Solomon, mm-hmm. which is a symbol of the inner temple. You know, King Solomon, well, he's now a great master. You know, maybe the name Master Maurya means something to some people. You know, he was Akbar the Great. He was a great king in India. Well, he was King Solomon, and he supposedly built the great temple. But the interesting thing about the inner temple, it's called a temple not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
So we did not hear any sound of the hammers. You know, in other words, this inner temple is built through your thought, through your aspirations, through your good deeds, through your service.
How you live your life.
Exactly.
Yes.
And everyone has an inner temple. You know, I'm sure that your listeners are familiar with the idea that there are many different vibratory levels of nature, many different levels.
Yes.
And on one of the higher levels, we actually have a very beautiful structure called our temple, or it's sometimes called the egoic lotus. It's sometimes called the causal body, or your higher temple, so to speak. It exists on the mental plane. Well, you know, if some clairvoyant could really look at us clearly, that's what they would see as our real self, the beauty of the temple we have thus far created.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's always beautiful, but it's not complete, see?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's nothing but beautiful things that go into it, beautiful vibrations, beautiful sounds, but it's not complete for most people,
mm-hmm.
and we need to find a way to complete it, you know, to complete our incarnational cycle.
And as it is within, so it is without. So as we create that high vibration within ourselves, then it will manifest on the earth.
Precisely, precisely. In other words, if we build our inner life structure properly, it cannot help but manifest a more beautiful world. And that's precisely what the seventh ray is meant to do. See, what is heaven after all? You know,
state of consciousness.
Well, it is that. You know, everyone goes to heaven in a way. Everybody is in heaven or their own hell. They make it, you know. So after death, there's no, like, permanent heaven. There are certain vibratory levels where a certain amount of time can be spent building yourself up, expressing unfulfilled desires and unfulfilled aspirations. These are the heaven worlds. But above them are still higher worlds which have to manifest on our physical plane. Mm-hmm. And that's the true, well, you know, I'm going to use a big word here, but that's the true archetypal realm. That's the realm of the beautiful designs that God is conceiving. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the great thinker who's in charge of our planet, and there are so many of these great thinkers, well, the one in charge of our planet has a beautiful plan. Mm-hmm. And we've got to tune in on that, because that's a plan that is meant to create beauty all around us and divine order and cosmos right here on our little planet. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the externalization of the temple. Mm-hmm. The temple.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is meant by the kingdom of God or the kingdom of souls?
Well, okay, you know, who is God? We're all God in a way. God is the great spirit. God is the ultimate identity, the final being, the one and only being. There's only one being. And this takes us back to India in a way, you know. Well, the kingdom of God is a state of human consciousness where we're starting to enter the realization of that, that we can actually tune in on this one being that is. We've all heard the phrase, in him we live and move and have our being.
Mm-hmm.
So in the great self we live and move and have our being. And the kingdom of God is like a fellowship or a society of people who are tuned in to that level. Mm-hmm. See, it's really a state of consciousness. It's not anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Nothing is anywhere else. That's the big thing.
And we truly are all connected.
We are. We are.
We are all expressions of that great being.
We are, and we have to know that, of course. And,
yes,
of course, the way to know that is through the heart, primarily, right?
Yes.
I mean, you can know with the mind, but you can feel it with the heart. That's where we have to know it. So mm-hmm. the kingdom of souls. See, every one of us is a soul. We are a reincarnating being. We are focused on the mental level of consciousness, which, and when I say mental, I mean a higher level than we normally think of. And we are reincarnating cycle after cycle. And when a human being through meditation can tune in on that, then they've begun to enter the kingdom of souls. And the kingdom of, you know, there are graduate human beings after all. You know, mm-hmm. we're not the only ones around here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll move on and they'll move on and the animal kingdom will move up and so it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And these graduate human beings, we sometimes call them the masters of the wisdom.
Yeah, that's
it, the masters of the wisdom. They supervise our development.
Mm-hmm.
And they are full members of the kingdom of souls, full members.
Mm-hmm.
We are what you call aspiring members of the kingdom, aspiring members of the kingdom of souls. And the more service that we do, the more service that we are, the more love that we express, the more fully we are members of that kingdom. It's the kingdom of love, really.
Yes. What a wonderful concept. What a wonderful vision to hold.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And we have to get there, you know. We have to get there.
Well, I know the workshop that I attended of Williams was about soul initiation,
exactly,
which was about releasing the ego and advancing into your full soul,
exactly,
expression.
Releasing the little self you think you are,
yes,
for the self you actually are.
So how does building the temple of humanity complement that?
Yeah.
I guess the way I would see it is that as you choose to vibrate at higher vibrations, it's just going to help you in your soul initiation.
Absolutely. The temple of humanity is composed of souls who are like the building blocks of that temple. You know, we are like the polished stones when we become souls in that temple. So if we cultivate ourselves through meditation and study and service and we become souls, we will actually enter into that temple and we will be able to represent the high energies in that temple. And we will be able to magnetically attract so many people who are in what you would call the darkened valleys of the land.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be able to attract them into a better and more beautiful way of life. They can, as it were, enter the temple of higher vibration. And
just by us sending out a higher vibration.
Yes, and magnetically attracting. You know how it is, you know, you meet people who influence you, right? They influence you for the good,
mm-hmm,
and you are attracted to them.
Mm-hmm.
You read somebody, you meet somebody, and before you know it, the good quality in them is beginning to cause higher qualities in you. That's what we have to be able to do for people.
Mm-hmm.
So all can enter the temple of humanity.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, there's our music, so we're going to take a quick break.
Love that music.
Yes, I do too. I love it. So please stay with us. We have so much more interesting conversation coming up, and we'll be back in Intuitive Living in just a moment. Metaphysical students from all over the world for the 19th Annual International Conference, Building the Temple of Humanity, Magically Manifesting Heaven on Earth, hosted by the Seven Ray Institute and the University of the Seven Rays. Be inspired by internationally renowned keynote speakers Michael Robbins, co-founder and president of the University of the Seven Rays, and Lynn Twist, author of The Soul of Money, with live performances by Phoenix's own Harold Grandstaff Moses. Ignite your spirit and enrich your life with enlightening presentations, workshops, meditation, ceremony, and fellowship. Whether you are a current student of the Ageless Wisdom teachings or are just looking for empowering information to enhance your spiritual journey, all are welcome. April 6th through 10th in Mesa, Arizona. Pre-conference, April 2nd through 4th. For more information, log on to www.sevenray.com, SevenRay.com, or call 201-798-7777. That's 201-798-7777. Don't miss it. This experience will enhance your life.
This is Augie Lytle, host of Living Healthy with Augie. Did you know that 1 in 3 Americans suffer from a dysfunctional liver? Liver problems are the new epidemic in the United States. Hepatitis C, type 2 diabetes, and fatty liver affects millions of people. The liver is the hardest working organ in the body. It is the major fat burning organ. The liver is also a filter and a cleanser of the bloodstream. Many people with chronic obesity may have a fatty liver, and it is not possible for them to lose weight efficiently unless they first improve their liver function. Dr. Sandra Cabot has formulated a product called Livitone Plus. Livitone Plus contains all the supporting nutrients to improve the ability of the liver to detoxify the body and burn fat. To hear my interview with Dr. Cabot, go to Living Healthy with Augie Archives. So don't wait any longer and begin to rejuvenate your liver. Go to www.weightcontroldoctor.com. That's www.weightcontroldoctor.com or call 623-334-3232. Again, that's 623-334-3232 to order your Livitone today. Tell them you heard it on Achieve Radio and receive a 10% discount.
Sherilyn, and you're listening to AchieveRadio.com.
And welcome back to Intuitive Living. This is Reverend Therese Inzarello conversing this evening with Dr. Michael Robbins.
Hi, Therese.
It's really been fascinating. Thank you for being here.
Great to be here.
We have only the tip of the iceberg and we have so much more to talk about. So I wanted to ask you about the Aquarian Age. How does the building of the temple relate to the coming of the Age of Aquarius?
Well, the Aquarian Age is the Age of the Temple. Of course, the new church that reflects the new understanding of the great world teacher, the Christ, will also be present. But the meaning of the temple will come into greater significance. The Aquarian Age is simply an astronomical period which is created when the spring equinox, well, let's put it like the equinoctial point, lines up with the constellation Aquarius. And that is due to begin in the year 2117, at which time we will have another of those very interesting crossings of Venus across the face of the sun. You know, we've just had that conjunction of Venus and the sun, and in the year 2012, which is the end of the Mayan calendar, we'll have another crossing, and then we're going to wait another 105 years, and the Aquarian Age will begin with the next Venus crossing. And it really is the age of brotherhood, the age of the one human mind, the age of the humanity understanding its oneness and improving together according to what we call the law of group progress.
I just want to cheer when I hear that.
Hooray.
It's like, hooray, yes.
You know, we've had so much individualism. Individualism is good because everybody's got to develop themselves and their abilities and so forth. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if we become united in the right kind of group relation, which augments everybody. In other words, it does, you know, it's not about conformity. It's about everyone being a total individual within the group. Then we will be fulfilling the Aquarian Age. Mm-hmm. The last 700 years or so of the Aquarian Age will be really the age of brotherhood, and it will be under the planet Venus. You know, you've got to talk astrology when you talk the Aquarian Age.
Wonderful. Well, you know, even before I started learning about the esoteric teachings, I had the vision of the rainbow, and I've often used that analogy in teaching people about energy.
The seven rays.
Yes, and that's exactly what it
seven
is.
Seven rays, and the seven notes of the octave.
The one divine white light refracted into the different beautiful hues.
Yes, what is it said? Life, like a dome of many colored glass, stains the white radiance of eternity.
Isn't that beautiful?
This is Shelley.
Yes.
Quote from Shelley.
So the Aquarian Age will be a time when we can truly come together, like as the rainbow, and see the beauty of the unification of all of it.
Yes, there's going to be a great understanding of every human being from a scientific point of view. So right now we hardly know ourselves at all, really. I mean, I can honestly say that, you know, just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to what we know about ourselves. And in that time, we will begin to appreciate each other for the full energy value that we have. I mean, everybody is an energy pattern. And in the Aquarian Age, the energy pattern will be understood and appreciated and properly harmoniously blended, you know. Mm-hmm. Right now, you know, we don't know how to get along with each other. You know, we don't know who to fit with each other, who's really harmonious or inharmonious. We're going to know that in the Aquarian Age. And the energies of humanity will multiply tremendously as a result of that.
Well, once we reach that pinnacle, so to speak, what's next?
Then the age of Capricorn, 2100 years later. Then the age of Sagittarius, 2100 years later. Then the great Platonic age of 25,000 years. Then the great cycle of 250,000 years where our sun and a number of other suns travel around the Pleiades or Alcyone. All of these are big astronomical cycles, and every one of them has its meaning right here on the Earth.
So it's just a continuous evolvement.
Continual growth under the impress of these zodiacal energies. Like, you know, during the age of Aquarius, we have to learn what Aquarianism really means. Mm-hmm. It's the spirit of universality, the spirit of brotherly love, the spirit of brilliant mind arrived at together. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, the group is more than the individual, but the group does not cancel out the individual. We've had a lot of experiments in the 20th century where the group was all dominant and the individual counted for nothing. That is not the way of the Aquarian Age.
That doesn't work either.
No. Really, it's the age of Aquarius Leo. You'll be happy about that,
having
a Leo ascendant, right? Okay. So, in other words, it's always the opposite sign of the zodiac that is important as well. See, So it starts with Aquarius, but then you go to the other side and say Aquarius sub Leo.
So does this usher in a period of peace? I've heard it prophesied that in the era of 2012, we will begin an era of peace. Is that true?
Okay, that is an optimistic view, and I hope that it is the case. My feeling is that by the year 2025, we will have a much better idea of what peace potentials really exist. I think that, you know, just as when an individual undergoes psychotherapy, they have to go through a bit of an internal war with themselves as they adjust their spiritual values. I think humanity is going to go through some sort of internal war. And I hope that that can be kept on the inner planes of mind and emotion. I hope it can be. I trust it can be. We'll have to fight it out for the light. Mm-hmm. I believe that that is what 2012 will bring us. And I think that we will have the dissolution, I'm thinking astrologically now, the dissolution of many aspects of our old civilization, and the best part of it will be preserved. But look, you know, there's a lot we have to let go of in order really to go into the Aquarian Age. Mm-hmm. In other words, we have to get beyond the sixth ray. We call it the ray of fanatical devotion. We have to get beyond that into this ray of magical order and cosmos, the ray of ceremony and ritual, the ray of things done decently and in order and in the right way.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the seventh ray in detail. Can you tell us a little bit more about what it's all about?
Well, you know, I have a book.
Let's talk about that.
I have a book called Tapestry of the Gods. You know, it's two volumes where I really explore this question of the seven rays. And if anyone's interested in that book, actually, they can have it free of charge at the moment at www.makara.us. So my books are right up there, and you can download them and read them.
Wow.
So, you know,
that's very generous of you.
Well, you know, well, look. Look at how many things were given to me. See, I just have to say, I mean, you know, the masters of the wisdom have given us this tremendous ageless wisdom. What did they charge us for it? What did they charge us for that?
Nothing.
Only asking that we, you know,
we share it.
Share it and have the patience to study it and to assimilate it. So, you know, the seventh ray is the most practical ray in the entire zodiac. It is the ray of law and of order and of a divine order and of bringing the beautiful fixed design into manifestation. Now, every one of us has an inner beauty, but we don't know how to get it through so often. When we know our energies and we use the seventh ray, we can bring the heaven that we are on the inner levels right down to earth. And that, of course, is like fulfilling the will of God. I mean, you know, everybody has the will of God inside them. Mm-hmm. To fulfill that is to be who you are. Mm-hmm. To be who you are is to fulfill the will of God. It doesn't mean that we give in to every little impulse we have. You know, that's not being who you are. It's being who you are on the higher planes and bringing it right down into the lower. And that's what the seventh ray can do. There are rules, the rules of magic in order to do this. There are rules of thought. You know, we have to follow some laws and some rules to do things right. Otherwise, we get into trouble.
A little discipline.
it is the ray of discipline. It's one of the rays of discipline. But, you know, discipline and freedom are very connected, aren't they? And we find out that when we give in to every impulse that comes our way, we're not really free at all. We are slaves.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to choose between those things that are really goal-fitting, will really manifest our inner self. The seventh ray will help us do that.
How can someone tell what ray they vibrate with?
Well, I can. Okay. Now that's it.
Yeah. You can look at someone and tell.
Yeah, I like to look
know.
In people's eyes because the eye is the window to the soul. I like to look at their eye. I like to look at how they hold their head, how they walk. I like to look at the expression around their eyes, how they smile. In other words, I think physiognomy has a great deal to do with discussing the rays. Look, there's three ways of telling what your rays really are. Okay, the first is the people that you associate with, because often birds of a feather flock together, so you're sharing a particular energy. Now, the next thing is by certain physical and psychical characteristics, and you have to study people very, very closely. And in the age of Aquarius and in the temple of humanity, humanity will be studied very closely, so we'll understand what we're really all about. But now, the third thing is your good old midlife crisis, okay?
Oh, boy.
See, in other words, well, I deserve this midlife crisis, right? Okay. What happens is the ray of your personality in which you've been, you know, living in your world and expressing your normal human self comes into conflict with the ray energy of your higher self, the ray of your soul.
During your midlife crisis?
That's what it is. That's what a real midlife crisis is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a battle between your soul ray and your personality ray. And by the nature of that battle, you can pretty well tell what a person's rays are. Suppose a scientist suddenly, let's say, gets religion and really becomes a very, very devoted individual. They might be hypothesized as moving from the fifth ray personality, where they were a specific type of scientist, onto the sixth ray of devotion and religion and idealism. Or suppose that a person who was, let's just say, involved in the financial world, in the financial markets, and very, very busy making money in all kinds of business ways, suddenly takes on a very humanitarian point of view.
Mm-hmm.
They might be hypothesized as moving from the third ray of active intelligence into the second ray of love and wisdom and philanthropy. See, the change will show you.
So are they just integrating those two energies within themselves?
Then they have to do that. After the battle between the rays, then they have to integrate these energies because, after all, your personality ray and the ray of your mind and ray of your emotions, your body, they're all meant to be instruments. So in your ray formula, the soul ray is the main thing. See, the soul of humanity is emerging. That's what the temple is all about, a place where the soul of humanity can emerge and use the instrument of humanity as its means of expression. That means use your personality and don't be used by it. And these specific kinds of energies will help us understand that.
You are in control of it.
Rather, yeah. Well, you know the old saying, things are in the saddle and ride mankind. Okay, we don't want to be ridden. Okay, we want to be the one driving the car. We do, yeah. And we are the soul. We are the soul.
Well, we have an in-quick message. Would you like to take this?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
Give it a try.
We have a young man named Kurt from Oregon, and his question is...
Oh, maybe I know this man.
Do you know him? Okay.
Okay.
When a person talks very quickly, does this mean that the third ray is active or overactive?
This is my old friend Kurt that I have not seen for 20 years. And when a person talks quickly, it means that I have a third ray brain and a third ray mind, probably. And I'm a quick talker, and Kurt always used to say, you know, you talk too quickly, and he always used to point out to me, Kurt Abraham, if it is Kurt Abraham, is a very fine ray theorist and author, and has written a number of books, so I recommend that you study those. I can't think right off my hand, right off the bat, maybe he'll type in what the names of his books are, but he is a fine author and a student of the seven rays. So we have, as a matter of fact, through Kurt, long ago, back in 1981, we started a ray group, which eventually grew into the University of the Seven Rays and to the spreading of the ray hypothesis farther among humanity. So
wonderful.
Very interesting that we would have this gentleman writing in at this point.
Yes, he says,
and he's correct. He's correct, yes.
When a person is emotional, does this indicate an overactive solar plexus center?
Whoops.
When
a person is a Virgo, does it mean that he has a good eye for the flaw?
he's teasing you a little, I take it.
I think so. Okay. It's his Virgo operating. But indeed it does. Indeed it does. We all have our ray formula, don't we? Mm-hmm. So if I have, you know, kind of a enthusiastic attitude, my six-ray emotional body might be involved in that. Or if I have kind of a weaving mind, my third-ray mind might be causing that. Or my fourth-ray dramatic musical personality, something of that
nature.
Well,
tell us the name of your book again so that people that want to learn more about
tapestry,
this.
Tapestry of the Gods.
Volume
1 and Volume 2, yeah. Tapestry of the Gods. That's one of the books, yes.
And repeat the website for us.
It's, www.makara.com. That's an unusual name, but it really means the angels who are helping humanity. Makara, makara.us.
Us,
yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So people can go to that site
and download your book. Indeed. And I've got a book on infinity. I've got a, you know, that's a third ray thing too, isn't it? I've got a book on the philosophy of infinity, and I've got a lot of astrology up there as well. Mm-hmm. And all kinds of things. And it's a wonderful website where not only my stuff, but many thinkers in this field are gathered and putting their things there as kind of a library or a repository of esoteric thought. And that's managed by a wonderful lady in New Zealand by the name of Victoria Stone, mm-hmm. who may be listening in from New Zealand at this time. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is what I mean by the Aquarian community. Mm-hmm. It's not just one person. It's a number of people combining their qualities and their abilities mm-hmm. to make more available for society.
And there's like a synergistic effect with it, too.
Precisely.
When we come together, it creates a greater whole.
Precisely. That's exactly it. The synergy. After all, we are in the age of what's called synthesis.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since the year 2000, we had a tremendous hit of energy that we sometimes call the Shambhala impact. And, you know, the very highest center on our planet affected humanity with willpower. So since that time, people have really been thinking in terms of synthesis. And, you know, we have to discover the synthesis that already exists.
Now, are all of your books on this website?
Yes, and my music
yes.
too. And my
okay.
music too is there. Not all of my music, but four of my albums are there. You know, on the, one is called the Sirius Festival. It's dedicated to the star Sirius. So these are songs about Sirius. Another is called the Festival of the Will, which are 16 songs about the will. You know, philosophy and music. What can I say? And then there is the Waysack Festival and the Festival of Goodwill. So the Gemini and the Taurus are there as well. And
wonderful.
I've written all of these, and in another few years, I hope to have all 14 of them up there, you know, so people can listen to them. And, you know, it's
oh, that sounds fascinating.
It's a synthesis of energy is what we're looking for in the temple of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
We need to bring our best to that temple and find a way to unite these qualities for the benefit of everybody. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the greatest good of the greatest number. That's the Aquarian motto.
Mm-hmm.
One for all and all for one.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Aquarian motto.
We were talking a little bit about how one can tell what ray they are. Can they tell that through their esoteric astrology?
Well, that's a very interesting question. There are some astrologers and a number of my colleagues who think that can be done. I'm not one of those who thinks that can be done, at least not yet. What I think has to happen is that you have to study very carefully the personality and mind and emotions and physical nature of an individual, and also their higher motives, and then get a fix psychologically on what their rays might be. Then you go to the astrological chart, and then you begin to understand how through that chart the ray formula can manifest. So I look at it this way. Esoteric astrology is in one hand, and the rays are in another, and they have to be put together. But to a certain extent, they are different systems which are interrelated.
Mm-hmm. And it's like a formula for helping to raise your vibration.
Well, I used to call it the sure formula. Precisely. Mm-hmm. We want to be very specific about energy. Look, if you've got a second ray soul, and you're not expressing love or wisdom in your life, you're going to be frustrated. You have to find an avenue through which to express the love and the wisdom. If you are an artistic type on the fourth ray, let us say, you have to find a way to be expressive and to create the drama of life, or to somehow harmonize your life and the lives of those around you. Those ray energies will come out. You see, in a way, the temple of humanity is built of the seven colors of the spectrum. It's built of the seven rays. It's built of the astrological energies. All the hidden energies build this great temple, an inner temple. So, you know, it is it's a labor. It's going to take a couple of thousand years before we make we'll make some progress quite soon, I think. We'll make progress. But the fullness of the Aquarian life and the fullness of the temple will not come for another 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 years. That's what I think.
Now, you're doing a workshop on esoteric astrology at
the
conference.
Yes, as a matter of fact.
It's part of the pre-conference,
I
understand.
It is. Okay. We're going from April the 2nd. The pre-conference is April 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be dealing with the astrology of manifesting your inner pattern, manifesting your place in the divine plan. We'll be particularly studying the planet Uranus, which is a seventh ray planet, and the planet Jupiter, which has a lot to do with the seventh ray as well, the ritualistic part of the seventh ray. And then my wife, actually, at the same time, so we'll be in competition. she's from Finland, my wife Tuija, and she's a wonderful ceremonialist, and she is giving Secrets of Temple Ritual and Ceremonial.
Yes, that really resonated with me. I read that on the website. Site, and I love ceremony and ritual.
She's a wonderful artist and a wonderful actor, and she has ability in all the arts and a powerful seventh ray. Mm-hmm. And so if you really want to understand the deeper side of temple ritual, I would recommend that. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, why don't you come and join us north of the Arctic Circle this coming summer solstice. We're going to have 7 complete days under the midnight sun where we're going to be dealing with the power of the solar life in the northern part of Finland.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
In a little town called Kilpisjärvi. You have to just kind of get there somehow. We'll be under the sun the full time. You let me know if that's what you would like to do. You come and join us up there.
Sounds wonderful.
We're going to get solarized somehow.
Well, that just has always resonated with me. I love the ceremony and the ritual. And also music. You know, when I had taken the tests as far as what kind of a learner I am, I score highest in music.
Mm-hmm. Ah, very
music
interesting. Well, you must have the fourth ray.
Yes, I'm music and spatial and kinesthetic and
so
visionary.
You have the seventh and the fourth ray, most probably. Mm-hmm. You probably have a strong Neptune, maybe Venus. Venus is going to be strong in your chart because you're a Taurus person.
Yes.
And so it goes with all of us, you know. Every one of us has these formulas which can help us maximize the beauty of our life. That's what we're trying to do.
Yes, and it helps to know about yourself.
It really helps to know. You know, we're leaving the age of faith and we're going into the age of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Certain knowledge coming through, you would call it intuitive living.
Yes.
In other words, there's nothing fuzzy about the intuition.
No.
The intuition is a factual thing and it presents things as they are.
And I believe that when you tap into that and you follow that guidance, too many people don't listen to it. They may hear something and then they ignore it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's tapping into it and it's following it, and that will guide you to your highest potential, I believe.
Exactly. And we have to know the place in ourselves from which it is coming. You know, we can listen to any one of our chakras, and it's best to listen to the heart and best to listen to the head center and the top of the head. Mm-hmm. The heart and the top of the head.
Well, I really want to invite the listeners out there to attend this conference because I know it is just going to be phenomenal.
Yes, at the Dobson Ranch Inn, right?
Dobson
in Mesa,
Ranch
Arizona.
Inn, Mesa, Arizona,
yes.
And it's the April 6th through the 10th.
Well, yes, the pre-conference is from the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and then we have a special day where we have a what we call 28 Rules Day, you know, the rules of life.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day begins the conference on the evening of the 6th, and it goes all the way through till about 1 o'clock on the 10th, Sunday. We'd love to have you come. We'd love to see you there.
Well, I will be popping in.
Hey,
yes,
great.
Definitely.
Okay, that'd be wonderful.
I unfortunately can't stay for the whole thing, but I'm definitely going to be popping in.
Well, I'll be there, but will I be there for the whole thing? That's the question.
Well, I have some other commitments that I can't get out of, but I will definitely
be
there.
Well, we're happy to see you there.
Yes. And for those that are interested in learning more about it, go to the website at www.7ray.com.
Exactly.
SevenRay.com.
Exactly so.
And there's a wonderful array of all the different speakers and presenters there, and they have a nice little synopsis of what each person is going to be speaking about.
Experts
and a little bit about their background.
Areas, yes.
And our friend William Meter will be there.
He will be there.
William is a friend of the show. He's been on a couple of times, and he's been just wonderful. And as you mentioned, Harold Moses will be doing a musical presentation.
Yes, and my colleague Keith Bailey, a wonderful musician, will be playing his temple percussion, and he'll be there. And Lynn Twist, of course, and David Spangler, a marvelous author and esoteric thinker, will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a number of people, more than I can even remember at this point.
Oh, and I also want to mention Carl Moret.
Carl Moret, yes, he's a fine physician, an alternative physician, and a very inspiring astrologer and visionary. He'll be there.
And he's going to be interviewed on Augie Lytle's show, which is going to be Thursday, March 24th.
Excellent.
For those that want to hear Carl.
That's a special day, March 24th.
So mark your calendars for that, March 24th, and Augie will be interviewing him.
Yes, that's called Moria Remembrance Day. It's connected with the Master M, March 24th.
Oh, wonderful.
A special day.
Wonderful.
Yes, special day.
And I believe he's going to be coming to Phoenix soon.
Indeed. Well, they all have to come here for the conference.
Well, I think he's also going to be doing Global Light is going to be bringing him to Phoenix for a workshop as well, I believe.
So, well, Therese, well, where's the time go?
Thank you so very much. And we're going to be back with Michael next week as well. And thank you for being with us. It was truly enlightening. So
thank
I appreciate your being here this evening.
Thank you, Therese.
So, it truly is a wonderful opportunity having you here. And as I've said many times before, the show is about spiritual truth. I do not believe in telling people what they should or shouldn't believe, but I offer spiritual truth and trust that your individual soul and intelligence will guide you to what is right for you. Intuitive living is about following that inner guidance and tapping into the universal life force and allowing it to assist you in the unfoldment and upliftment of your soul. And in this journey, we are assisted by many great masters and great souls and way showers. And I believe in honoring and thanking the great masters who give us so much wisdom, guidance, protection, and love. And this week coming up is Holy Week, which commemorates the trials, tribulations, as well as the celebration of the power of spirit over matter as demonstrated by the great master Jesus. Thursday commemorates the Last Supper, a time of gathering of loved ones where Jesus served his disciples by washing their feet. And metaphysically, the feet symbolize understanding. This action by Jesus showed that he washed away the darkness to help bring humanity to a new era of spiritual understanding and enlightenment. His dying on the cross on Good Friday was his taking on the karma of humanity to uplift our souls, and his resurrection on Easter Sunday personifies what is possible when you are in total alignment with Christ consciousness. Jesus' teachings have been very misconstrued through the centuries. And his saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," does not mean that he is the only one who can achieve this state of consciousness. He is the great example, not the great exception. He told us, "Greater works will you do," and he came to show us what is possible for all humanity. So as we build the temple of humanity in the world and in our hearts, let us take some time this week for prayer, meditation, and thanksgiving to this great master. And let us align ourselves with love and be the radiant lights to the world that we are meant to be. May your week be truly holy, blessed, and love-filled, and remember that you are truly divine. And please join Michael Robbins and I next week for part two of our interview. Until then, I wish you love, light, and many blessings. Namaste.